96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
With Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Bud Light, Ron's Electric Motors, Island Wholesale, Popeyes, and the Digital Transformation Unit.
Gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Of course, you would have just heard Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis speaking to the passing of Sir Sidney Poitier and explaining just how much Sir Sidney meant to the Bahamas. And he did. He was an iconic figure. Just a giant of a man, and a national hero for the Bahamian people, all right? I don't look upon Sir Sidney's death with a sense of mourning, necessarily. Of course, that loss, that hurts, particularly those who were close to him. But given all that he accomplished, I find it difficult to think on him with any sense of sadness. He was incredible. He displayed the best of what it means to be a Bahamian and to accomplish great things. In the area of entertainment, I don't believe there is a more accomplished Bahamian. And he displays the essence of what it means to come from humble beginnings and to do great things. And so he certainly should be honored, and certainly that warrants the flags flying at half-mast, as the Prime Minister said he's instructed to have done here and at our embassies and consulates abroad. So we want to remember him fondly for all he's done. All right, I thought he was fantastic. I think my favorite movie of his was In the Heat of the Night, to me. All right, because it just so encapsulated that time period, that shifting from black people, particularly in America, being downtrodden and having a sense of needing to make themselves small in order to walk through the world without being punished and treated poorly, into black people in America saying that they are rightfully here and they deserve a place in this in that country, and they deserve everything that anyone of any skin color deserves and should have. It really personified that era perfectly, in my opinion. We named the bridge after him. Is that enough? Like Brave Davis said, he didn't think we did enough. But we named the bridge after him. That's good. We could do some other stuff. Like a road. You could have a building. Remember when they named the bridge after him? When they were naming the bridge after him? And they were like Bahamians going, why are you naming a bridge after him? You know how many Bahamians he helped? Y'all are hard to please. Like, if he don't go around at Christmas giving out ham and turkey. He ain't nobody. Like, come on. Let's be serious. All right. So Sir Sidney passed, and we are mourning his death. Well, I'm not even going to say mourn his death, like I said. I'm going to say celebrating his life. Right? We'll celebrate his life. That's what we should do. Bud Light wants to take you to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 2022. Purchase a Bud Light six-pack and enter to win an all-expenses-paid trip to take you back to the stadium. All right? So, we're doing an open line thing today, which is fine. But thinking about Sir Sidney earlier got me to thinking about how do you live your life to the fullest? Right? How do you live a fulfilling life? Because he certainly did. Right? He's got children and grandchildren, right? Which is important. He's got great accomplishments. Monuments are named after him. He's awarded by the National Academy. I don't know what the hell they're called. The Oscars or whatever like that. He won an Oscar. He got a Lifetime Achievement Award. He got a Medal of Honor from Barack Obama, right? He got a knighthood bestowed upon him by Sir Lyndon. So he had a fulfilling life. But does a fulfilling life mean that you have to be wealthy, that you have to be famous, that you have to be awarded by other people? Or does a fulfilling life mean that you just want to have lived your life and be proud and feel accomplished in what you did to me? Because not everybody's going to be famous. See, we sold this lie to everybody, and social media has compounded it a hundredfold, that if you're not recognized by other people, then you haven't really done anything of worth or note, right? So if you don't get likes, if you don't get comments, if you don't get affirmation from other people, a lot of times, and that's how we're raising this generation. We're going to have a very lot of warped people coming up in the future, okay? If you don't have other people verifying who you are, then you believe that your life is not of note. This is what we've done to teenagers in particular. So my kids, they're not touching social media until they're like 16, right? It's just a warped sense of being that you're finding out there in social media. So how do you live a fulfilling life? So first of all, let's establish what this great show's usual one. Bahamians only appreciate you if you buy them a fridge or stove. Yeah, I don't want to talk bad about y'all, right? But y'all ain't easy sometimes. Like, I was kind of shocked, actually, from the pushback with naming the bridge after Sidney Poitier. I was a bit astounded by it because I never met Sir Sidney, but he was a point of pride for Bahamians. My father, right? My uncles, they really looked up to him. They met him. I never met him. I never had a conversation with him. He was a point of pride in their lives. And when Bahamians were coming up and they were in the 60s and 70s, he was like one of the people who they looked at as saying, look at what we can accomplish. Look at what we can do. All right. And he instilled a sense of black pride in generations of Bahamians. So I was kind of shocked, you know. But Bahamians are like that. Bahamians are, I've met a lot of people, right? And Bahamians top the list of people who will talk bad about their own countrymen without any sort of reservation, right? I know I talk bad about y'all too sometimes. But you can't drive. You can't drive. Sorry. You can't drive, Bahamians. It's just facts, right? It's not shade. You know, if you meet an American, they're not going to talk bad about Americans off top unless something goes down. If you meet someone, a British person, they're not going to talk bad about Britain. Oh, Britons are so dumb and lazy. They're not going to do that. Baymans, they're looking for the negative first a lot of times. So I'm not with that. Some of y'all, I'll say, not all of you. Some of you, I'm not with that. It says, great show as usual. When I leave this earth, I want to be remembered. I don't want just to live, then dead. The world will still revolve anyway if you're living or dead, but I really want to do some things of substance to be remembered for a long, long time. Not like how Menace will be remembered for locking everyone down. Okay. So here's the point, right? What is a fulfilling life? Because guess what? You're going to die. All right? So Sydney was 94. I'll take 94 years of relatively good health any day. All right? You're going to die. I hate to be the one to break it to you. All of us will die. All right? So the only thing that you can do is try to make a worthwhile contribution while you're here. All right? Make life worthwhile for yourself and for those of you, those who you can help who come in contact with you. We got a call. That's fine. You can call me, too. It's open line. 323-6232. But I want to talk about how you live a fulfilling life. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. 422-4796. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I want you to give me a couple minutes, like, Anton.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because this thing has to be thought of when you say, when I say what I want to say.
Okay.
Fulfilling is an individual thing. Now, let me take a look at my life because I can speak about mine. My life is fulfilling to me because why? I can retire. I retired at an early age.
Great.
Let's say 50. I retired at 50.
Excellent.
And I can spend time in my yard and my garden and wake up when I want to, go where I want to, eat anywhere I want to. So, everybody's not going to be able to do that. So we have to pick and be mindful of where we are in life and still live within our means and know what we are capable of doing. And that can still be fulfilling. You don't have to be a movie star. You don't have to be Michael Jackson. You don't have to be with the boy name.
Right.
Him and his wife, Beyonce, with the hair all curled up, or funny-looking fellow, whatever his name is. Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, right.
Right. You see, and this life they portray on TV, fulfilling is when you can be with your family, you can help somebody along the way, and not necessarily help the church. Give to somebody that you wouldn't normally give to. Like, I have some people around in the area where some of my businesses are. If they call or they say they come to me, I know they need it. And I get gratitude from that. Now, and then you got a lot of these people who we call legacies, give all this claim to. But they didn't do anything spectacular. They were paid to do it. And if it didn't work, it didn't matter because they still got paid. But when somebody goes to strike out on their own and stick with something, they are the kind of people I think we should honor. Not those that go into government and all of that and then we got pictures of them all over the place and they did this, they did. No. They were paid to do it and some of them still collecting their money. That, I don't see that as praiseworthy. So that's the next thing. Man, I'm straying a bit because that's why I said, give me a couple of minutes.
Go ahead.
But fulfilling has to come from within oneself. And don't let people influence you to think you are more than you are in most cases.
Mm.
We have to be very careful of all these images we see on TV. And especially these fools, when they make a little bit of money, they got all this gold around their neck, in their mouth, in their pocket. And then the next year, they're down.
Right.
So try to prepare. And I always tell the people, if you live and die young, well, you won. But if you live long and suffer, you lost. Because you had an opportunity, like everybody else, to prepare for a fulfilling life.
But
you could have, your mind, no matter how small your little place is, once the rent man is not knocking on your door, that's yours. That's what you achieved in life. You can go home, lay down, and sleep, and don't worry about the rent man.
Absolutely.
Or your water bill or your light bill.
Yes.
You have achieved what you could have achieved in your situation. And we have to go back to that and stop letting these children, like you say, you're not going to allow your children to go on the, what's the thing, the internet or whatever that is?
Social media.
Social media until they're 16 and can understand that is not how to live.
Exactly.
That is just a fad, and a lot of them, they lose, they die, they just end up being nobody. But they project this image on this thing, and the poor children cannot decipher what is going on at that time in their head. So we have to look at what we can do within ourselves and find happiness within ourselves and not look to other people for happiness or for other people to tell us we're doing well.
Exactly.
I don't look for nobody to tell me I'm doing well. People always tell me, oh, I need to go spend my money and go around the world. They don't. When you go around the world, you still come home tired and you go back to your bed.
Right.
So why go? I sit in my yard and I tell my gardener, do this, do that. I pick on a coconut and give me some of the water or get my cassava out of the yard. I eat that. And it's those little things that make me happy. I don't have to go around the world to be happy.
Agreed. Absolutely.
I don't know why people think they need to be going around the world and travel. They're only impressing the wrong set of people because that don't impress me that you're going on a cruise, you're going this way, you're going the next way. Because when you come home, you're still tired. And you go to your bed. You got to catch, like we said, we got to catch ourselves. So I get my happiness from being home in my yard and just taking care of my things. Because I feel like I've accomplished. I don't know no other life, so how can I expect other things or want to be other things?
Absolutely, you shouldn't.
Yep, that might kill me faster than just taking care of my things, for all I know.
Absolutely, you make great points, man.
That dead set life ain't nothing to play with, you know.
Well, you know, if that's what you want, then go get that, right? But you don't need to have that in order to have a good life, in order to have a fulfilling life, is my point. And thank you so much for calling and contributing. My point is this, right? So Sidney wanted to be an actor, right? He wanted to be an actor and be in plays and be in Hollywood, which is very difficult for black people. He wanted to be a leading man. That was his dream, and he chased it, right? And he fulfilled his dreams, but his dream doesn't have to be your dream. So here's the first key to living a fulfilling life. Define for you what is success. Don't chase somebody else's definition of success. Okay? This is why my kids aren't going on social media. Because I don't want you looking at something and thinking that's how it should be for everybody. That's not the case. If you want to go be a rapper, go be a rapper. You're like, I want to go be a rapper, right? That's what I'm into. I want to make music. Right, I want to make movies. That's fine. And you can do that. And you don't have to have a million Instagram followers. You can just do that and fulfill yourself. Right? I'm a writer. I haven't written a novel. I've been talking about writing a book for years. That's a lot of people talk about writing a book. Right? But I'm not saying I want to write a book and I want to be Stephen King. I want to be John Grisham or some big popular novelist. I just want to do that to accomplish that. And having accomplished that, that would be fulfilling to me. So define what is fulfilling for you. Define what is success for you. Define what is accomplishment for you. There are people who may want, I want to get a PhD, right? And there are other people who say, I don't want that. I want a different path in life, all right? I want to get a job. I want to find someone who loves me. I want to raise a family. You may not want that for you. You may say, well, I want to go see the world. I don't want to have kids. I don't want to do X, Y, Z. And that's for you. So define your path. Don't let other people define your life for you. That's the first step. In leading a fulfilling life, understanding what you want your life to be, not what someone else tells you your life should be. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there? No? All right. Call us back. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796, 422-4796. So recognize the things in your life that actually make you happy and recognize the things in your life that you can't live without, all right? And when you recognize the things in your life that make you happy that you can't live without, focus on those things And the other things will fall into place. Because they'll give you purpose. They'll give you priorities. All right, so someone... Anyway, let me go to the phone. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there?
Cheryl?
Yes, hello.
Yes, I want to say something about Sidney Poitier.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, I'm from Bahamas Loving Care, Sam Williams.
Oh, hey, Sam.
Let me tell you what I have done. I done a survey on Mr. Sidney Poitier through the Wall Street where he used to live. With his brother live in the front. He live in that back house in the back there. That house is in a terrible condition. The taxi drivers need to take people through there and see what's going on. I'm asking the government to please do something with that house. Mr. Sidney Poitier is gone now. His brother died now. He died. I'm asking to do something about that house in the back where he used to live. And I did a survey on that with a lot of people, and they told me he used to live in that house with his family before he went off. And it's right through the Wall Street.
Through the Wall Street?
Yes.
The house ain't there anymore.
The house in the back.
But the house gone.
Yeah, the house, somebody's still living in the house. They need to do something with that, fix that up, because we need to do that for the taxi drivers so they can do the tour.
Okay. DeVoe Street.
So see if you can push that for me. I'll appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Kermit said the house gone. To DeVoe Street? Where in DeVoe Street? Oh, I drive by there every day. Opposite the church? Mm-hmm. Oh, the house. They pushed the house down. Okay. He still puts something, like a memorial, like a plaque or something on the road. This is Juan, what are you talking about? Wasn't half of America talking bad, but the Americans who stormed the Capitol? Well, that's a distinct situation, you know? Americans don't generally talk bad about it. Until the pandemic, then it's like everyone pick a side. Like it's anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers. COVID deniers and everyone else. Like there's, but that's worldwide, wasn't it? It wasn't specific to America. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I want to just say a word about the Sydney, if I may, please.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
My name is Craig Flowers.
Hey, Mr. Flowers. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. It's so sad to hear and for me to be on the radio today.
Absolutely.
Particularly about the Sydney, because when I was a young man growing up, and we were very familiar with his family through the Wall Street area.
Mm.
And when I went off to school to do my Boeing 707 rating in California, I stayed at the Sydney's house. He invited me to stay at his house as a young man, and I had the pleasure of watching him go out to work as he took part in movies. And, you know, he always tried to make me feel comfortable because of the earthquake. The earth trembles out there quite a bit in California, and for me, I was not familiar with it, and I always felt a bit uncomfortable every time there was an earth tremble. So, but my point was that even... later on in my life, when I became the first black pilot for Northeast Airlines in New York, they honored me at a Boat Ball in New York where the mayor and the governors and others were there recognizing my accomplishment as the first black pilot in New York at the time. If the Sydney would have showed up, and lo and behold, he sort of counseled and tutored me on how I should deal with the radio talk shows that I had to appear on to talk about being the first black pilot because of the enormous amount of racial challenges that the first blacks at the time in 1969, 70, and 71 were facing. And I always remember how he calmed me down and got me ready before I went to speak on any radio talk show, particularly in Boston, where there was a great deal of, of feelings that we were had a huge mountain to climb as people of color at the time, because we were not called black then, we were called colored people. And Mr. Sidney always counseled me and taught me and gave me this sense of assurance that it was so easy to get done. But, you know, when he came here and we spent a lot of time, he and I, playing golf together and going fishing here in the Bahamas together later on, played at Paradise Island quite a bit. And he always said to me, and you made mention about this bridge, that people were on the other side of the bridge protesting one day when they were naming the bridge after him. And he said to me, Craig, it's amazing. I never asked for my name to be put forward I never volunteered. I never looked forward. I never did anything to ask for this bridge. And now people are protesting and saying that why shouldn't the bridge be named after Somalo and others that they know of and not him?
Mm-hmm.
But he only marveled sometime and he wondered and he told me, you know, Craig, you are so fortunate where nobody knows you and nobody push you forward. But don't ever let anybody pull you into something that you don't want to be a part of. He says, for me, I recognize other people wanting me to be recognized here in the Bahamas, but I find it very, very difficult for me to have to go out there and face all of these things. And we just left that and moved on.
Excellent.
So, yeah, the bridge was not a very pleasant thing for him to see the amount of people that would have opposed it. But
yeah,
he moved on by that. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, may his soul rest in peace today, because he's certainly been an instrumental, a huge part of my life over the years. So I just want to say, you know, thanks for this opportunity. May his soul rest in peace, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. Flowers. Actually, before you go, let me ask you a question, if I can.
Sure.
Yeah, so I wasn't even alive when Sir Sidney won the Academy Award for Lilies in the Field.
Yeah.
That was 64, I believe. And my father talked about what it meant to him, but what did that mean to you? It's just as a Bahamian, even outside of your personal relationship, just as a Bahamian and for the Bahamas, what did that mean to you?
Say that again for me, please.
I said, what did it mean to you see Sir Sidney come from the Bahamas and win an Academy Award as a Bahamian?
You know, it was beyond our comprehension, because we could not really appreciate what was being accomplished. We go to the movies, we watch Mr. Tibbs, we watch all of his great movies, we watch To Sell With Love, we watch, and we enjoyed the movies. All we saw was the theatrical part of it in the movies. His personal life that I was more attached to, and the challenges he had to encounter, because it was back in the 60s, it was in the early 70s, mm-hmm. when there was a huge, huge racial, Martin Luther King was still marching in Birmingham for civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were the times that when Sir Sidney was accomplishing these things, these were off the chart. They were in another world. So certainly, we never fully, even myself, who had been close to him, I could have never fully appreciated. And I think that we won't really fully appreciated until history has its way of telling the story and telling it the correct way. And then maybe we here in the Bahamas and other places of the world will recognize what he had to encounter personally. You know, it's like when your dad tells you things and you're a kid, you only see the good life in which the world your parents provide for you. They provide a level of security around you that all you know is that, wow, my childhood life was so beautiful, was so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the real story was the sacrifice that your parents were going through in order to make that life of yours seemingly so great. There was another side of the story to be told that you never saw when you were having so much fun. It's the same with Sir Sidney. We saw the good part of it. We saw the glamorous part of it. But behind the scenes where he lived and where he worked, and the things that he had to encounter was so awesome, was devastating. But he understood the role he had to play as an ambassador for people of color, as somebody that we all looked up to. He understood and he endured, and that's what he did. And he never asked for anything, nothing. He did it because he thought it was the right thing to do. And the opportunity was afforded to him. That's all he did it for. And I can tell you, because I had so many great personal moments with that man It's unbelievable. And I think to this day, you've carved out a part of my mindset, my heart, to make me who I am today. And I tend to walk, or want to walk, or would like to know that I'm doing things with his endorsement, you know. But you know, I can't answer truly what it had meant to me then, because I think the true appreciation of it will be told later when we get to understand the whole story on the matter.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mr. Flowers, for calling in. We really appreciate it. You take care.
No, I don't do much talk show calling. My first time for quite some time, but I think, and I thought just driving along, that the opportunity was deserving. So thanks for giving me the opportunity, and I do appreciate it. And like I said, may Sydney's soul rest in peace.
Absolutely. May he rest in peace. Thanks so much. All right. We got another phone call. It's Craig Flowers. It's good. I didn't know they had that relationship. That's very interesting to me. Mr. Sydney he came back to live here, right? He was here in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, late 60s, early 70s. And then he moved. I think him and Pinling, well, I don't think him and Pinling had an argument. I think like he had an issue. And what happened with him and Pinling? Because I know him and Pinling were cool in the end. They were really good friends. And then then something happened. He was living out east somewhere. Something happened. And he moved. Somebody fill me in. And then him and Pinling were cool again. And Pinling gave him the knighthood. Right? I wasn't alive. I don't know the details. Somebody help me. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Pinling got it. I was alive when he got the knighthood, but I wasn't alive when he lived here and then he moved. Something happened. But his family was here. I think his brother was here, right? Yeah, brother, sister. He's got family still living in Cat Island, right? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Who? His daughter's in Cat Island, right? Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Let's take a different phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney, and Happy New Year.
Hey, this is Bishop Simeon Hall.
Yeah.
Hey, great to hear from you. Happy New Year.
And God's blessing on you and your family.
Yours as well.
Your father and I were in St. John's together.
Oh, okay.
I have a number of Sydney Poitier's stories.
Oh, this is Mr. Carter. I'm sorry, I called you Bishop Hall. I apologize. It's Frank Carter. Okay.
Yeah, that's me. You've forgotten my voice.
I have. My bad. But go right ahead. You were saying.
I'm a forgettable fella.
No. Don't say that.
I'm really kidding. I have a few Sydney Poitier stories.
Excellent.
I'll quickly tell you two of them.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest sister was in Government High at the time. And my late brother Charles went to pick her up from school. And one of the girls sitting at a window said, "Your brother's here." It was near the end of the school day.
Mm-hmm.
And he has someone with him. And then Madeline looked out the window, said, "Oh, that's Sydney Poitier." So everyone in the class rushed to the windows to look at Charles and Sydney Poitier.
Uh-huh.
And the teacher couldn't restore order and put her in detention, that she caused the disruption. But they were thrilled to see Sydney Poitier. But my other story is this. My late brother Harcourt and I were in New York at the time going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And our cousins Stanley and Jackson came up to visit us. Stanley and Jackson Burnside.
Right.
And Henry Woods also came up. He was a close friend of ours. And we went to Small's Paradise, a nightclub over in Manhattan, uptown, then owned by Will Chamberlain.
Wow.
Very popular nightclub. So around 1:30, Sidney Poitier and Ari Belafonte came in. But before they did, there were five girls sitting at a table. There were five of us. And we would go over and ask them to dance, and they would say no. So then Sidney and Harry Belafonte came in, and I spotted them first. I said to Stanley and Jackson, your uncle Sidney just came in. Sidney was their late father's first cousin, Dr. Jackson Burnside. So they ran over. They called him Uncle Sidney because of the age difference.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran over, spoke to him. He came over to the table, shook our hands, both of them, and ordered a round of drinks for us. And this was around, I think, 1965.
Wow.
Yeah, before you were born.
Right.
And then they left another round for us. They didn't stay too long. After that, the girls who were telling us no came over. I think, you know Harry Belafonte? Henry Woods, the late managing director of Amazon, said,
yes.
Oh, yeah, that's my uncle.
Wow.
And Jackson and Stanley just smiled. And then they started to ask us to dance.
Things changed, eh? Real quick.
That was the fact that Sidney and Harry Belafonte had on them. But a lot of the Haymans don't know the contributions that Sidney Poitier made. Mr. Flowers brought up the controversy over the naming of the bridge. I, too, got on the radio and said, y'all don't know all of the scholarships, all of the Bahamian students that Sidney Poitier helped.
Yeah, yeah.
And every September, early September, he would invite the Bahamian university students living in the New York area out to his house on Long Island, New York, when he was married to his first wife.
Wow.
You know, for the weekend.
Wow.
And my late brother, Charles, his first year at NYU, was privileged to have gone.
You know what I find amazing is that he reached this level of stardom, and he could have just lived this Hollywood life and not really check for the Bahamas, but he never lost his connection to his home. That's what I find really amazing.
He had a house in Vinton. He built a house in Vinton and hired my mother to make the drapes in that house. And Charles, I don't know how Charles became close to him, but Charles was very close.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever Sidney came to Nassau, he would always get in touch with Charles, or Charles would get in touch with him. And, of course, his cousins, he never forgot any of his family, the Burnsides, the Poitiers, and he loved Cat Island. He was a true Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
And he did two of his movies. World premieres was at the Shirley Street Theater.
Wow.
I
didn't realize that.
You know, the famous people that on why they named the bridge for him, he helped put us on the map.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
He certainly contributed to the independence movement.
Yes.
Here in the Bahamas and the human rights, civil rights struggle in the United States.
He absolutely.
Harry Belafonte, yeah. So right behind Martin Luther King.
Absolutely. Well, that's wonderful that you
have
those
experiences. His autobiography. Someone borrowed it from me and never returned it. But it's worth reading.
No, I've read it, The Measure of a Man. Yes?
Right,
yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Carter. We appreciate you. And, you know, great memories that you have there. We got to go to break. Let's go to break. It says, Juan, what's today's topic? Are you covering the insurrection? What insurrection? There's an insurrection happening? Anyway. No, unless you could tell me where the insurrection is occurring. No, I'm not covering the insurrection. We're talking about how to live a fulfilling life, given the example of Sir Sidney Poitier, who lived an amazing life. Your life doesn't have to be his life, but he knew his dream and he knew his purpose and he went out and he did it and he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish and he fulfilled what he wanted to do in his life. All right, we're going to a break. We'll be back. I guess we'll be back on the other side of the headlines. Stay tuned.
Yeah. If you like a hearty, meaty burger, the A1 Steakhouse King at Burger King Nassau has it all. With flame-grilled beef, lots of bacon, cheese, and crispy onions on a sesame seed bun, the only thing that can top this is the tangy flavor of A1 steak sauce. The Steakhouse King is a meat lover's dream, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and hot fries, it's all you need to fill your day. Get your A1 Steakhouse King as a combo or part of the new King's Feast, only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Want to be the MVP of the party for the big game this year? Just take your favorite Frito-Lay chips, Lay Stacks, or Tostitos and salsa to the party, and you will be the MVP and have a chance to win cash. All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay Stacks from participating grocery stores. Think you can throw the football? Well, come and play the throw and win game this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at Meat Max. Just throw the football through the uprights to win instant prizes, including tablets. Frito-Lay distributed by Island Wholesale.
If you like wings, let Marco's Pizza be your wingman and fall in love all over again with our new savory boneless wings. Indulge in flavors like sweet chili, buffalo, barbecue, and spicy barbecue. All for just $12.50. 10 pieces made with quality ingredients for just $12.50. With Marco's, it's the quality that matters most. Make every day a wing day. Marco's Pizza, every store, every day. The Italian way.
There's nothing like the roar of the crowd, especially when it's Super Bowl. That's right, Bud Light fans. Get ready to get back to the stadium with the purchase of a Bud Light six-pack. We'll give you a scratch-off card for a chance to win NFL gear. Plus, participate to win in the ultimate all-expense-paid Super Bowl experience in Los Angeles. You have until January 15th to enter at any Jimmy's Wines and Spirits and select official Bud Light retailer. See you back at the stadium. Only with Bud Light.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're talking about Sir Sidney Poitier's death and how to live a fulfilling life, because he certainly lived one. This is one I like, Uptown Saturday Night and Let's Do It Again. Yeah, he directed those movies. Uptown Saturday Night, Let's Do It Again, and A Piece of the Action. Though he did those movies with Bill Cosby. And he directed, I think, all of them. And he directed a few more movies, like really good movies, with like Gene Wilder. Right? He did something else with Cosby, if I remember correctly. Ghost Dad. Yeah, remember Ghost Dad? Are we canceling Cosby? I'm not canceling Bill Cosby. I'm sorry. I'm not. Y'all can have R. Kelly. That's fine. I'm not canceling Bill Cosby. You can keep R. Kelly. I don't have a problem with it. I was a fan, but I don't got to bust out Ignition or nothing like that. I can't cancel Bill. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm not. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
I'm Juan McCartney.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Fine. This is a story. You know, with him, we don't read. We don't read the history and how we get so far in life. In his book, right, did you read that? He took Billy Dee Williams, Bill Cosby, all the top to his home in Cat Island. They were on the beach for days. Mm-hmm. The house was so hot. But he said they had fun.
Yeah,
all the big black actors were with him home. Mm-hmm. And he said he would never forget that, and how much fun they had sleeping on the beach. In his book, right, like, his book was so interesting. I saw it in Miami Airport. I would miss my flight in reading it. Mm. I'd buy one at Costco, but I don't know where that book is now. I would go look for that book. But it was an interesting book of his mother. His mother didn't know what acting was, and she freaked out and slapped him because she said, like, Mommy, aren't you playing? She said, Sidney, you lying to me. And she, you know, she tripped out. But his life was interesting. He went in New York City, couldn't read or write. The Jewish cook taught him how to read and write, mm-hmm. and he survived. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
He didn't get on no drugs, like, you know, back in the day, that you could do all type of freaky stuff.
Yeah.
He kept his mother with him. He made something of himself. And, you know, he has also oldies. Every Christmas night, that was our drive to see his house.
Mm.
It was on a corner with a high white wall next to the Solomons. Because he was our future. We lived next to the big Bay Street boys.
Mm.
And mommy always take us on that drive to see his house. He had it all light up.
Excellent.
Back when I was young. Now,
wow.
Papa knighted him for some reason. But every year, Maynard and the PLP would go to his house in the 80s. He had one big payment party, and Maynard would go to his house with these big PLP stalwarts.
Did Papa knight him? Or did...
back.
Was it Papa who knighted him, or was it
Pim? Yeah, Papa knighted him.
Papa
because
knighted.
The problem was, he's not born British. That was the issue. That once you are an American, you can't be knighted. That was the biggest kind of issue with it then. Your papa is a bull. You can't change your mind.
You can't. An American can't get knighted. Is that right? I don't think that's right. You can bestow a knighthood on anyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. No, let's go to another call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, Vaughn.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, yesterday, my father passed away. We buried him on his birthday. He would have been 98.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And
that's a good list.
To my surprise, who came to the funeral was Sidney Poitier's nephew and niece that one of them I haven't seen in over 30 years.
Wow.
And we lived in a house right across from Sidney Poitier's two brothers. Now, Sidney Poitier, one of the houses is there, but I think they remodeled it or did some expansion to it. That used to be Mr. Reginald Poitier. That was his brother, and the house next to there, I think they got some trucks on maintenance. Business there now. That used to be Cedric Poitier's house. Now, you know, my memories of Sir Sidney was, you know, back in the 60s when he came to Nassau, he would come and visit. We used to call him Uncle Reg, you know, and, you know, he had a daughter. And I remember as a kid, I was in love with Gina. And, you know, he used to come and would bring all kinds of things. So, you know, Uncle Reg used to be able to give, you know, give my family quite a few things. But, you know, it used to be a celebration time when he came. When those movies, Lilies of the Field and To Serve with Love, we would all go down to the Savoy Theater. I think they allowed blacks there. I remember seeing the movie The Savoy. So, you know, he used to only he was in and out. He didn't live in Nassau as such, but like the one of the your caller said that, you know, when he came, he made sure that he took care of his brothers and their children. He did his best.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, great. Thanks. That's a good, great story. Papa did not give Sir Sidney Poitier the knighthood. That's not true at all. In fact, he got the knighthood before Papa was even prime minister, if I remember correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi. One.
Yes.
Rudy Lavardi here.
Hey, how's it going? Turn your radio down. Are we going to get feedback?
Yes, you turned it down.
Okay.
Yes, I'm calling to give my condolences to the family of Sir Sidney.
Sure, go right ahead.
Yes, I had, you know, what is strange is I got into acting while I was in the U.S. in 1984.
Oh, great.
And I happened to going to a library to do a study on actors. And on the tray they were about to discard, there was this book called This Life. And I looked at the back of the book and I saw Sir Sidney's name. And I asked the librarian what they were doing with the books. They said they were getting rid of it. So they sold it to me for 25 cents.
Wow.
And being from old school, when we used to put the brown paper on the back of books when it didn't have one, that's what I did to secure it, kept it here, sent it to Hollywood.
Wow.
Sir Sidney autographed it for me and sent it back.
Oh, wow. Wow, nice.
The first time I'd ever seen Sir Sidney on the screen was at the Cinema Theater on East Street and Lewis Street when it was playing the movie The Long Ships with Richard Widmark.
Wow.
But after I read the book, This Life with Sir Sidney, even though I had gotten into acting, it was not the movie so much that drew me closer to Sir Sidney, but the life itself, because there were some things in it that drew a parallel to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those I recollect, because it brought me to tears, when I read one part of the story where he was in the States for a very long time and doing movies, and he had come home for the first time when his parents were still living through Ross Corner.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any electric lighting in the home. And he stood at the door not knowing what to expect, since he had not seen his parents. His parents didn't know whether he was living or dead. But his mother could sense him standing at the door. Mm. And in the dark, as old as she was, when he walked into the house, she just could feel his features. And she burst into tears for her son.
Oh, wow.
I had the same feeling when I went off to school and my mother died. We didn't have a telephone at the school to call me, but that sense came.
Mm.
So that's where I drew the parallel that the phone call was for me. And I never knew what it was about until a week later when school reopened from spring break and the phone rang again. And my sister was able to get on the phone and call me.
Wow, that's crazy. That's a great, great, great story. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but a number of times I had spoken with him while he was still in Hollywood. And the only time I've seen him in person was when they were doing the presentation at the bridge, when they were naming the bridge after him. But I spoke to him any number of times while he was in Hollywood. And he would give me tips. And then when he would come to Nassau, he would call the house here and leave a message on the answering machine, because for some reason I was hardly ever at home when he called, you know. And, yes, I spoke to him regularly while I was in Denton, Texas. And so I had taken up a whole collection of just about every one of his movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can watch them over and repeatedly to see what made this man such a legend in acting.
Yeah, he was great.
I really got seriously into acting basically from what I saw from him and what I saw from the other actors like Marlon Brando and all those, to make that comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to copy many of what Sir Sidney did.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I would have never tried to do was to play a role in a movie as Sir Sidney, because after watching A Raisin in the Sun so many times,
mm-hmm.
I don't think if I was cast in a role to play what he played, I would never have been able to do it justice.
Absolutely. And thanks so much. And, you know, you think about his accomplishments, but you forget what a great actor he was. His movies were great, right? He just made great movies.
It says Sidney was knighted in 1974. Right, yeah, yeah. I know Papa didn't knight him. You know when you ain't quite, you don't have the date down, and someone tell you something, and they confuse you. Yeah, Pinling gave him a knighthood. I knew that. I knew that after asking when it was. But I did know. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Doing,
hey, I'm good. How's it going?
Happy New Year to you and your family, okay?
Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah, why calling? I mean, Sidney Poitier was my grandmother's cousin from Key Bay, Canada, okay?
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, Warren, you was right. He was knighted in 74 by Pinling, okay?
Right, yeah.
Okay. McCartney, I can get a controversy. I wonder how Michael Pinchard got reacted.
What? Man, you gotta make her me. I was interested in the segue, like how he was gonna segue from Sir Sidney to Michael Pentart. I really was keenly interested in how he was gonna bridge that gap there. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon, hello. No, okay, call us back. So Sidney was my mother's cousin from Cat Island, but I want to know how Michael Pinto. I'm gonna be more like you, Dave, in 2022. Just abandon all conventions. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
Hey, awesome, awesome. I don't know if anyone mentioned the connection to Andrews Avenue, which is a corner from where your granddad was. The Hamilton was his sister. I don't know if you know the Hamilton Morton Driving School.
Oh, yeah, they're here from Blount. Morton
Hamilton was his sister.
Really?
So, yeah, so when he talked about Reg, Uncle Reg, I think that's Morton Hamilton's husband.
Mm.
So your granddad and your dad would have known Sidney if he passed through that area. I was too young, I don't recall. But
yeah.
I just wanted to highlight that connection that you brought more closer than you thought.
Okay, for sure. Thank you very much. Oh, Kermit says Reg was the brother. Reg was his brother. Right. Wow. We got connections. All over. Let's do a phone call. I'm still cracking up off Dave. Let's take this next call, Kermit. This one? Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan.
Hi.
Happy New Year to you and your family, too.
Happy New Year.
Yes, I want to share something about Sidney that the public don't really know about.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Do you know that Prince William's school was actually donated by Sidney Poitier's son?
I did not know that.
Yes, they didn't do it justice, but somehow people they squandered the money, but the school was donated by Sidney Poitier.
Really, I did not know that. That's crazy. Thanks for letting me know that. That's great. Yeah, he did a lot. That's why when the Bahamians were when they were protesting naming the bridge after him, I was so ashamed. Like that, you know, like when Bahamians do something stupid. And it stays like, it stays here, and you're like, okay, that's our stupid. Like other people don't have to know about our stupid. But when you do something stupid, and like, other people can see it, and you're just completely embarrassed. That's how I felt. I felt completely embarrassed when they were protesting the bridge. It says, good afternoon, Juan. What kind of investigative journalist are you? You had two persons, Mr. Flowers and Mr. Carter, on who could have answered the question why Sir Sidney left the Bahamas, and you let them off the hook. Shame on you. I should have asked him. Says Sir Sidney was everybody, Cousin A. You could be a lot of people, Cousin, if you come from the Bahamas. There's only so many of us. You know what I'm saying? So, says Dave, them could kill. It says, yes, Sir Sidney was knighted in 1974. Americans can be knighted, but they rarely ever refer to foreign recognition that they get because it's not patriotic. Hello. It says, knighted in 74. Okay, knighted in 74. Says, in fact, you don't even have to be a British citizen to receive the honor. A large number of Americans have been awarded knighthood or damehood, and the privilege is potentially open to any non-Brit around the world. Yeah, that's what I know. You ever talk to somebody who's like, has a completely wrong set of facts, but is so confident in it? That's Robert, right? Yeah, Papa knighted him. Because it was a controversy, because he was an American. What? Like, totally wrong. Okay. Says, hi, Juan. Sir Sidney's legacy is to be celebrated not only for his work, but for his quiet philanthropy as well. He was a humble man and would want to publicize all that he did for the, and would not want to publicize all that he did for the country. Axed Baptist, Sir Sidney helped at Prince William. Axed Nina, Sir Sidney helped after Hurricane Andrew. Just two examples, but not the only ones. He should be someone we call the most honorable. Yeah, I think we should give him the thing, too. The national hero. Yes, Juan, rest in peace, Sir Sidney. I do agree with the social media aspect. Blame Bruno Mars, too, LOL. I want to be a millionaire, so effing bad. Instead, let Rick Ross guide you every damn hustling. I still wish they did more for Ronnie Butler. Not enough done by us compared to what he gave. Yeah, they should have. We could do some more for Ronnie Butler. You got to give him the flowers while they're alive, you know? And I think we did that for Sir Sidney. We didn't do enough for, man. It says, Happy New Year. Sir Sidney's parents lived through DeVoe Street opposite Our Lady's Church and School. They never lived through Ross Corner. When he came home the first time, it was in the daytime, not the night. Oh, okay. It says, I don't blame Bahamians for the bridge controversy. I blame the people who should have educated the country about who this man was and why he was getting the recognition before they actually gave the award. Yeah, true. That's there's some truth to that, too. It says, having a fulfilling life is all about purpose. First, knowing yourself and your purpose, using your unique talents to do works in line with your purpose, then continually broadening your mind to enhance your talent. They say the mind is the biggest sexual organ, Juan. There are only two things you can leave on this earth, children and works. Not everyone will have kids, but everyone can do works. You can't beat the combo of mind, purpose, and works. Very well said. Actually, I'm going to do another show on living a fulfilling life. So I think we get distracted by, we measure our lives by other people's standards. And we if we fall short of those standards, then we feel poorly, you know? Says, good afternoon. I totally agree that Sir Sidney should be a national hero. Do we need to start a petition to get that done? What would be the process? I'm sure Brave Them will do something posthumously. Right? We got a phone call. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, a pleasant good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, but I want to wish you a happy new year. My first time calling. But yes, so I wish you a happy you and
happy
your family all the best.
Absolutely.
In 2022. You know, I grew up in the early 70s, and you know, to us, Sidney Poitier was an iconic figure. You know, I think he was celebrated among our young generation. Sorry, I'm kind of stuttering here, but his nephew and I, Bruno Poitier, we attended SAC together in the early 70s, so we'd all, you know, I'd always hear stories about him and so on and so forth. But, you know, when Mr. Flowers called and he said that he was the first, you know, person of color to have flown a Boeing 747, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one stories like that need to be told.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that he was a pilot.
He was the first, like, black big airline pilot. He was one of the first, I think he was the first black person to ever fly
yeah, but
in Arab
where
country.
Where is that in our history books?
Well, yeah, you make a good point.
You know, if we don't tell our stories, if we don't have, you know, the Bible says that we ought to put up some stones so that when your children ask you, what mean is these stones, that, you know, you would be able to say, this is how we got over. And we need to celebrate Bahamians. You know, the other day, a Bahamian guy, I think he was the first person of color to become valedictorian. You know, those mm-hmm. persons should be celebrated so that we, like I said, we have Bahamians across the world who are doing great things.
Absolutely.
And great minds. And
yeah.
there is no problem that the Bahamas has that some Bahamian don't have the answer to. So we just need to tap into these resources and let's celebrate ourselves and put these people out there so other people can aspire to be just as great or even greater.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. We appreciate you. All right. We'll do some more text messages. You can call me too, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Says Juan, him and Calvin Lockhart was doing movies at the same time. Juan, Dr. Donaldson will know his political story. He helped campaign for him in 67 in the Killarney constituency out west. He left a trust for that Shirley Street Theater to be transformed into a real studio when they named the bridge after him. I didn't know that. It says he assisted in building Prince William School, but did not donate the entire school. Okay. Good afternoon, Juan. My most sincere sympathy to Sir Sidney Poitier's family on his passing. Indeed, he should be remembered and Bahamians reminded of who he was. I really appreciate what you're doing, giving him his accolades. Prior to his passing, one of his daughters went to Cat Island and was one of the persons who started the Rake and Scrape Festival. His daughter settled there. May his soul rest in peace. Yeah. And certainly Cat Island is one of the most beautiful islands in the Bahamas that I have been to. I have been to every inhabited island outside of the islands that are privately owned. I've been to every inhabited island in this country. No, I lie. I haven't been to Ragged Island. I've never been to Ragged Island. Okay, so I haven't been to every inhabited island. I gotta make it to Ragged. I'll go there up like by boat. This says, yeah, I've been to every inhabited island except Ragged Island, and Cat Island was the most beautiful to me in terms of just how unspoiled it is, how the beaches are phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it. It's just great. All right. Now, we got a few more text messages. Let's go. This says, Barry Islands. Have I been to the Barry Islands? No. No, I haven't. I'm sorry. I'm lying. I guess I haven't been to as many islands as I thought. The Barry Islands nicer than Cat Island? I don't think so. Is that right? But Cat Island's beautiful. I mean, because the PGA was going to build a golf course on Cat Island, and I went down there for like the groundbreaking. It didn't go through because we had the global financial crisis, right? And if you saw this land where they were going to build this golf course, like is overlooking a beach, I didn't know places like this existed. I was like, we have places like this in our country? And they're going to dig it all up and put a golf course there. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. You ain't been to Andros? Who ain't been to Andros? Yeah, I've been to Andros numerous times. It says, Sir Sidney Poitier, and to serve with love to me was excellent. Teach them rude students how to behave in class. Yeah, that was great. That was great. And yeah, there was another one. They called me Mr. Tibbs. I think I've seen every Sidney Poitier movie. I'm pretty sure I have. Like, and it was hard not to, and I sought them out. Because, you know, anytime he would be on TV, my father would be like, you know, he's a Bahamian, right? After, like, the 100th time, I'll be like, yes, yes, I know he's Bahamian. Yes. Good afternoon. He met him, too. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
A pleasant good afternoon, Juan. How are you doing today?
Hey, Anton. I'm good. All is well.
All right. I hope you know I had a lot more beating for the leader of the opposition yesterday, but nonetheless, I had another time. I clearly... He didn't want to take on no blows while he kept on interrupting my contribution. But nonetheless, that was an excellent interview you conducted with him
yesterday,
and I really appreciated that you were bold enough to open the lines so that he can talk with the Bahamian people. As a matter of fact, if I could give him some advice, he needs to do it as much as possible. Open himself to ridicule and to intelligent and informative criticism, and be prepared to take it on and respond positively or as much as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
But on the matter at hand, I too want to join in and express my sincere condolences to Sir Sidney Poitier's family on his passing, and to his loved ones and friends. What I wanted to express in addition to that one is, Sir Sidney Poitier, when you examine a life like his, the kind of lives that inspires nations, that inspires movements, that inspires dreams. And so him being a Bahamian one at the center of all of his accolades, all of what he would have accomplished over his life, that's something for every Bahamian to celebrate. Black, white, rich, poor, no matter where you fall on the spectrum, that's his life is something to celebrate and to honor, because it represents a life similar to those of the Finland era, Arthur Hanna era, the Mandela era. You know, this whole movement of black people who came up in a time that was the most difficult time on the planet for people of color to rise up and make something of themselves.
Right.
And he was able to do that successfully on a world stage and dominate for decades. And so I give his life honor, and I'm thankful. Last point one, I'm thankful that I'm not happy that he's passed away, but I'm thankful that he's passed away on the watch of a PLP government under the Prime Minister Davis, similar to a Christie, who would ensure that all Bahamian lives who would have made the sacrifice and rose to that level is given the dignity and the honor, even if it's post humorously. Okay, and so I'm looking forward to whatever the government is going to do under the leadership of Mr. Davis, and of course the National Heroes Committee led by Mr. Munnings and Minister Mitchell and those great gentlemen. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do to honor his life and his contributions. Thank you, Juan. Continue the great work, bro.
All righty. Papa was quite cool with Sir Sidney, too. We're just going to take a break. We'll be back.
They repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Want to be the MVP of the party for the big game this year? Just take your favorite Frito-Lay chips, Lay Stacks, or Tostitos and salsa to the party, and you will be the MVP and have a chance to win cash. All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay Stacks from participating grocery stores. Think you can throw the football? Well, come and play the throw and win game this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at Meat Max. Just throw the football through the uprights to win instant prizes, including tablets. Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance. SJJ, SJJ. S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Hi, I'm Corporal 30 Chanel Sands of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. According to Section 212, Subsection 3 of Chapter 84, the Penal Code, every person being the owner or occupier of premises in any town or settlement knowingly permits any disturbance of the public peace by loud shouting or otherwise in or upon such premises shall be liable to a penalty of $150.
This message has been brought to you by the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Bahamas Information Services.
The novel coronavirus disease, now called COVID-19, is a new strain of coronavirus that has not infected humans before. Symptoms include cough, fever, sore throat, breathing problems, and shortness of breath. After a person has been exposed to COVID-19, symptoms can appear between 2 to 14 days later. Severe cases can lead to pneumonia, severe respiratory syndrome, kidney failure, or even death. The virus is transmitted after being in close contact with an infected person. To prevent the spread of a respiratory illness like COVID-19, wash your hands for at least 20 seconds with soap and water. Rinse, then dry. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth unnecessarily, especially if your hands are not washed. Cover your mouth and nose with your inner elbow or tissue when you cough or sneeze. Avoid close contact with persons who are infected or have symptoms such as coughing or sneezing. Clean and disinfect surfaces at home and at work. There are no medications to treat the coronavirus. Practice preventative measures to ensure that you and your family are safe.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
To the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Talking about Sir Sidney Poitier's death. And what is it? You ain't been to Andros or Exuma. What? I've been to both Andros and Exuma numerous times. I've been to Exuma at least 5 times. And Andros. This says one, the slap by Sidney Poitier shocked the world. Google it. The slap, no, I know the slap. The slap is, that's In the Heat of the Night. That's why In the Heat of the Night's my favorite movie of his. And he has so many great movies, right? Because it wasn't just, it's just what it symbolized, you know what I mean? And it dealt with it head on. And he went into this racist town investigating, this murder, and he refused to apologize for being black and being a detective, and you know, when the guy in the was in the greenhouse, the guy slapped him, and he slapped him back. And it wasn't just that he slapped him back; it was like how he looked at him when he slapped him. You know, like, are you out of your mind? He looked like he gave him a Bahamian look. You know what I mean? Like, what you dealing with? Like this, like, you know? That's the Bahamian, the look he gave, oh boy, after he slapped him, that's the Bahamian look. One, have you been to South Andros? Yes, I've been to Andros numerous times, all over it, numerous times. Every place, every island in this country, besides the Berry Islands, I don't ever remember going to the Berry Islands, and every island in this country besides the Berry Islands and Ragged Island that has an airstrip, I have been to. All of them. You haven't been to Moore's Island as yet. Come on now. Now you're just parsing stuff. That's Abaco. I've been to Abaco many times. And I think and they called me Mr. Tibbs was the one after in the right. It wasn't a sequel to Sir Sir with Love. It was a sequel to In the Heat of the Night. They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. And then he did another one. It was like a trilogy. I don't remember the name of the other one. And like he had the trilogy with Bill Cosby, and he had the trilogy with the detective Tibbs, right? Or Lieutenant, one of them. It says, Anton Ain just went there. He had to put politics in it. Yeah, he certainly did go there. I don't understand it, but it's what it is, right? I'm going to read some more of your tributes. Here, hold on. This is a particularly nice one. It says, one, those who criticize Sir Sidney do not realize the burden that man carried, not only representing himself and the Bahamas, but representing the pinnacle of black success in Hollywood. There are very few black men that have lived that have been so well respected and loved on so many different continents. May you rest in peace. Listening to these stories that we didn't know existed is very refreshing and enlightening. We really need to invest more in telling our stories. Absolutely. If we don't tell it, who will? Right? Because Hollywood's going to tell the story of him in Hollywood, right? They'll mention that he was a Bahamian, but Hollywood's going to tell his Hollywood story, and they're going to tie that to what it meant for black America. But even though it meant something significant for black America, it was something even deeper for us and all America, but particularly black America. We forget how much things have changed, right? In the span of a generation. Things have changed. 1970 was a very different world than 2020. Right? 50 years. Dear Sir Sidney Poitier, your entire existence was a legacy. You pursued the dream of becoming an actor in an era where the color of your skin caused you to experience rejection despite the greatness that was inside of you. Like a rock star, you were the first black man to kiss a white actress in a featured film and got away with it. Like an icon, you were the first black man to win an Oscar, opening doors for actors such as Denzel Washington and so much more. Like a hero, you refused to accept movie roles as a slave or the help because you knew you were born to play the leading role. My dearest Sir Sidney Poitier, you advocated for diversity and equality in the film industry through your creativity and demand for the recognition of the contribution of our black people. Because you existed, the Bahamian dream did. Because you existed, the American dream lived. Because you existed, Mangra Studios is. And because you existed, I can. Rest in peace, Sir Sidney Poitier. Love you always and forever, Felicia Woodside, Bahamian filmmaker and CEO of Mangra Studios. Okay. This says, may his soul rest in peace, unless you're Jesus Christ, with no money, no house, no politics, etc. You need money to be famous. The guy in Long Key or Rum Key has a hard time compared to the person in Nassau. Other than someone takes him out of those areas, he's considered almost a nobody. Okay. It says, thanks for acknowledging and honoring a great Bahamian, Sir Sidney Poitier, RIP. Also, recently belated Wendell Jones, media mogul, Love 97's mom, Geraldine Jones, and Mispa Bartlett, mother of Debbie Bartlett, and her aunt, Bahamian author and poet, Susan J. Wallace, your dad, your uncle, Dr. Timothy McCartney, Charles Carter, Thomas Bastian, J. Barry Farrington, A.D. Hanna, Sir Milo, Sir Lyndon, Pastor Miles Monroe, etc., and it's overdue for a National Museum and Heroes Recognition Holiday, ASAP. Absolutely. Absolutely. Says, Juan, this is what I hold to be true. We cannot define success in life without defining our purpose. Everything that was ever made on this earth was done so to fulfill a purpose. Likewise, we have been placed here to serve God, and this does not always equate to fame and fortune, but at the end of our life's journey, we will know that we lived out our purpose. Absolutely. That's, you know, to me, that's the meaning of life, right? It's to find out what your purpose is. And to fulfill that purpose. One, I thought Sir Sidney could have done more for culture in the Bahamas. Some will say he wanted to 45 years ago, but politics stopped it. Well, that was 45 years ago, RIP. I mean, what more should he have done for the culture? Hello, Juan Sercity Poite had a great life and an excellent career, but all of his successes were for him. We as a country cannot lay claim to anything he achieved on his own and for his own personal benefit. May he rest in peace. You could not lay claim to anything he achieved. I'm claiming him. He's a Bahamian. All right? And his success was born out of the values, the culture that he came out of. So that's nonsense to say all his successes were for him. That doesn't even make any sense. Right? Being Bahamian helped shape who he was. If you read his book, you'd know that, right? And he attributes his success to his Bahamian roots. So that's garbage, okay? It says social media is dangerous. You need to have confidence and know that you're enough and be very mature to be on that media. It can break your child to think that they're not enough. Very dangerous. Listen, I limit my social media because I go on there and I'm like, Jesus, these people are living such fantastic, interesting lives, and come to find out they're just mostly faking it, putting this face forward like everything's fine. They're people just like you and me. Juan, I'm sorry, but Bahamians do not support Bahamians the way other countries support their own. They're there to break you down but not push you up, especially if you're doing better than them. And this is nothing new. Amos Ferguson told me this himself. Black crabbing is our thing. Basically, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Haters will always be there. Sometimes your success is considered failure to others, so live your best life of God and do the best you can. I'm sure Sydney Poitier didn't waste any energy on haters. And that's the key, too. How do you want to fulfill your life? Realize that there are always going to be people who say you didn't do enough, that you weren't good enough. There are always people who are going to put negativity, even in a backhanded way, you know, about on when they're talking about your contributions. And so you can't worry about that. So y'all talk about, so Sydney should have done more. Like, what should he have done? Should he have, like, gone to schools and hand out candy to everybody? I don't get it. Like, what more y'all want? Like, that's someone coming to me. Oh, you could have done more for the Bahamas. Like, what the hell else you want from me? Right? You can't even say that to me. And I, you know, I only did my part. But you can't take away from Sir Sydney, man. That's nonsense, you know? And it's also petty. Like, you can't give him credit. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
All right. Kirk here.
Hey, what's up?
All right, man. I've been listening off and on because in and out of work, in and out of the office. But several things. First, what pricked me was that the call was when I heard just now somebody talk about a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Man, listen, several years ago, I've had conversations with several of the Saturday morning talk show people, Greg and, you know, Tony and some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that I suggested. We need a museum that will house our historical information.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that caused me to push it is because when we were talking about our lack of education in our schools, our story is not being taught in our schools. Our history is not being taught in our schools. And if we can establish such a place, such a museum, with all of these things, artifacts, recognition, and all of these history-making moments and people who have participated and contributed so much.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a place where our educational system could get information from. The students could go and get information so that our story could be told ourselves, as you had mentioned on one or two occasions during the show. Not other people telling our story. We need to tell our own story, and we need to tell it right.
Absolutely. I appreciate
it. Again, my emphasis on a national museum for such people like Sir Sydney, you know, and those people, Dr. Miles and Govak. We need it bad because that is information. We always say the information, knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. That's knowledge is that power. That's the power we could get as behemoths.
Yes, I agreed. Thanks, man. Appreciate you very much so. Or you could do it virtually. You know, it'd be nice to have someplace you could actually physically go to, but virtually you could do it as well. This says, hold on, I lost my place here. It says the house gone through DeVoe Street across from Our Lady's. Yeah, that's what Kermit's telling me, the house is gone. Juan, you don't want to take anyone there. There's a dope house there now. Is there a dope house? How do you know it's a dope house? It says, the biggest secret on earth by design must be Bahamian talent. worldwide, but especially those living in the Bahamas, the Jokers get the shine easy. So I want to throw up after Anton talked about the PLP. Says, good afternoon. Again, I was just watching CNN, MSNBC, and even BBC. They're all talking about Sir Sidney. Indeed, he touched many people in many countries. It's so amazing. Many people went to the U.S. on 1-2-day visits and came back with an American accent. It's so amazing. All those years, my hometown boy from Kell Island never spoke like Americans. He spoke in such a unique way that he was understood. This says, good afternoon. Do you think Mr. Moss and Dr. Einstrom will be interested in going to the funeral of Sir Sidney? I have no earthly idea. It says, Sir Sidney was one man. He did the world for the Bahamas. Yeah, that ran me hot when the bridge thing happened. I was like, what the hell more y'all want from people? Like, what do y'all want? Unless somebody didn't personally serve you and help you, then they have no value to the country. If your personal interests weren't served, you can't go beyond yourself and think about the country, the collective. It says the Department of Archives has a treasure trove of current and historical data of thousands of Bahamians and events. It just needs more exposure and accessibility. Yeah, absolutely. Like because there's parts of our history that are just, that are absent pretty much, except for the Department of Archives. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, man, everything good. Happy New Year, because this is the first time I'm talking with you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, man, I want to send my deepest sympathy and condolences to the Poitier family. But I think what they really be really talking about is like the Dundas, or probably going to pump a couple of dollars in the Dundas Civic Center, for the performing arts and things, and I probably to train more artists and everything, and more young Bahamian artists. Like, you know, we should have like a little training artist school, like over here. You know, like a person who is like almost a billionaire or good for 700-800 million. You know, guess either the Dundas or the one on Shirley Street, the old theater, pump some money in that, name it after you, and just train young Bahamian to be artists or something like that. You know, I think that's probably what they get. Not like, but that's what I. That's how I look at it too. I think he's going to do a little more in the field like that. You know, something to help out a little more actors to come up. Don't have to go through what he had to go through to come up to be a successful actor.
So, let me ask you this. Yeah. So, representation has no value then? Is that what you're saying?
No, not really. Like, you know, like even you hear a couple of people say, well, he never came to the Bahamas, and when he comes to the Bahamas, he used to go to the Wall Street, or, you know, like, if this is your birthplace and thing. You 94 and you can count on one time, on one hand you've been to the Bahamas?
No, you know, man, you can't count on. No. You can count on one hand where you remember he'd been to the Bahamas.
No, I mean, I just came on the courts. I didn't know him that really. I just came on the courts. The gentleman to the Wall Street who say he's his first cousin and thing, say he never used to hardly come to the Bahamas, but when he come, he used to come like, you know, like that. That's what I mean. I didn't care by what the people say, because I was young when really he was only 52.
Okay. Yeah. I find that's unfortunate that we can't appreciate what all was done, that we keep saying what wasn't done. You know, that's I feel as though that's not a mature mindset to have, right? So he didn't owe us a Christ thing, right? But he did as much as he could have, clearly, right? And so we celebrate the fact that he represented us. We celebrate the fact that he had an impact on our culture, all right? These things do matter, all right? There's not only value in what's tangible, right? In what you can count. There's also value in the fact that he instilled a sense of pride in us, a sense of accomplishment in us. He showed us that it was possible to do wonders. Right? That was in it. He was the first black man to win an Academy Award. All right? The first on Earth. And he was a Bahamian. So to me, that is enough. But beyond that, he contributed to the struggle for majority rule and independence. He contributed to the civil rights in the United States, which impacts us as well. And he helped people all throughout his life in the Bahamas. So I can't brook any negative spin on his life. I can't. I won't do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Vaughn Gartney.
Hey, how's it going?
My recollection of the Sydney Poitier was during my educational at Aquinas College, Madera Street. And him and Sammy Davis Jr. came to witness one of our performances there in 1970. And he encouraged us, as well as Sammy Davis Jr. did. And he shook our hands and encouraged us and tell us, be with all we can be. But I had a chance to meet him in person.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Excellent. Good. That's excellent. I'm glad you met him. Yeah, my father, man. I mean, he meant the world to my father, man. So, I'll speak for everybody. We are proud of the life you lived and all that you accomplished and all that you did as Bahamians. All right? We're proud of you. You were wonderful. You left your mark on the world in an incredibly significant way, and we will not forget you. That's going to do it for the show today. You guys take care out there. Have a great weekend, Bahamas. Lord willing, we'll be back on Tuesday.